Hola Madridistas, welcome to the preview as we host Celta Vigo at the Bernabeu on Sunday. I know a lot of you are already tired and upset after the shambolic performance we witnessed yesterday. But we get no rest, the players and Ancelotti, the coaching staff, nobody gets any rest. It's time to prepare, to get into our Super Saiyan form, to speak, to seal our top spot in La Liga and to work out our tactics before we head into the quarters of the UCL, man. So we were all talking yesterday that we were kind of scared to face some of the top teams, especially if the team is in this form. So yeah, we really need the team to improve in the next couple of games, especially before the international break. But yeah, before we get into all of that, a word from our sponsor for this episode, Manscaped. They're the pioneers of male grooming, and they have excellent products that can craft a perfect-looking man from head to toe. So, if you want to support this podcast and love the work we do, consider buying something from manscaped.com and use the code LBR20 to get 20% off and free shipping. So, with that out of the way, I'm joined today by the people's favorite, the man from Nigeria, who recently he prefers to eat spaghetti over jollof rice. Farouk, how are you doing, man? How's the pasta in Milan these days?
No, man, I mean that's something that will never happen, man. Spaghetti over jollof rice, man. God forbid, man. Like, come on, man. They will take away my Nigerian passport and everything, man. They will disown me, man. Bro. Well, yeah, man. I'm good, man. Yeah, but I mean, credit also, spaghetti is a really good meal, but like, I mean, yeah, it's nothing compared to jollof rice anyways. Well, yeah, bro. I'm good as you can be. It was quite an interesting day, a bit of helter-skelter and work bullshit stuff like that. But yeah, man, we're here. We're doing what we love, and that's just the best we can hope for.
Yeah, and I feel like it's been only a few hours since we were last on the podcast, because and the post match, as always, it was an emotional affair. But now that you had time to process everything, do you have any insights, fresh insights?
I mean, the insight I have is this: yesterday, Sinead and Mo were going about the fact that they're gonna face Man City. And with all honest, in all honesty, actually, I'm telling you, Jacob, like I feel like we're jumping the gun. Bro, face Arsenal and Inter Milan and actually get past these teams first before you actually discuss facing Man City.
And
You know, like that's the only thing. I just kind of feel like, I don't think we're at that level of discussing about facing Man City. I think we need to be worried about, yeah, of course, we always fancy our chances, but facing teams like Inter Milan and Arsenal, I think it's something that, would make me uncomfortable, just to put it in a very nice way.
Yeah, for me, I'm just looking at it from a positive way. Like that's the only way I can look at it and still function on a daily basis. So what I'm thinking is at in when you faced against Leipzig, like we were playing in second or third gear, we never really pushed it past the throttle, and we never really went out to actually win it. So that gives me hope that's when we actually face top opposition, we will pull it together. We've had this problem before in the past as well, like these players. Sometimes it's even though it's a UEFA Champions League, and when you already have a lead and your coach says you just have to sit back and defend. These guys, they sometimes don't care. They just do what they're told. They don't have to pull anything special out of the bag. So I just feel like once we face better opposition, like we automatically improve. That said, like we've been seeing some worrying signs over the last five games at least. We've not been playing well. So hopefully, like, this is time to actually prepare for the next round. We've got two, three games to prepare for it. But yeah, hopefully, what I'm thinking is that should be enough.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's the thing. Like you mentioned that, and to some extent, I would agree with that. But then again, it goes back to what we've seen. In November, December, January, there was a period there where like the team was really, really good. But the question now becomes like, was that the anomaly there? Because like this form that we're in looks like this is the normal thing we do. You understand? And that impeccable performances that we had during that period seems like it's like the anomaly. Like it's the one that it's the wrong thing. Playing well is actually, is like the wrong thing for us, and struggling to win and never convincing is like it seems like that's what's more what we're more comfortable with. And honestly, I really don't share that level of optimism that you share that okay, like we're a goal up and these guys are laxing and stuff like that. I really do not share that because I felt like Even yesterday, you know, like Leipzig could have won the game, right? No, so could have won and, you know, taken the game to extra time. Let's not forget about, you know, almost bar, you know, just literally at the end of the game, you know. So if that happened, you know, basically everything would have gone into garbage, and you know, it's just a fresh game for the next 30 minutes as well. So I just feel like I do hope what you said is true, but I don't share your optimism, unfortunately.
Yeah, man. Like, if it had gone an extra time, like, same. I have a very little hope that we would have actually made it out of the round of 16. But yeah, man. Like, we have to look forward, and like I said, in the next few games, like, we really have to pull our shit together, get to our best kind of formation, best version of ourselves. So, like, that got me thinking. So. Ancelotti got that wrong yesterday, right? He was like, maybe this is the best formation to play against these guys, against all teams that we're going to be facing against in the UCL from now on. They're going to be high intensity pressing teams. It's going to be hard to play against. That's not going to be a lot of time. So Farooq, like, do you know who your, like, favorite formation is or favorite setup is when facing teams like that? Because Ancelotti still doesn't know.
I mean, I think basically what we've seen work this season, that's just what we have to go back to, you know, with Jude and Vinicius and Rodrigo there, you know, with Jude being the top of the diamond. I think that's the thing that we just have to go back to and hope that, you know, Jude is able to find, you know, his form back and, you know, that link up play between himself and Rodrigo and Vinicius, you know, can come back at a certain point. But I mean, right now, considering the tools we have, I think this is just the best we can offer right now. I don't think there's anything more. The thing is, you know, like Carlo decided to tinker and take away, you know, Rodrigo and put in Camavinga, basically, you know, even further reducing the, you know, that synchrony that exists between the front three. So already the team doesn't have a, you know, a proper number nine. So already you're playing, you know, like in a handicap. So, like, you know, the coach further handicaps the team yesterday, I felt, you know. But yeah, I think that's just the best we can offer. And just, you know, we have to hope that, you know, that combination works, because I feel that if that combination can work, yeah, okay, like, we might not win, but, you know, we're going to lose in a proud way, you understand? Like, we're going to go out, like, with having given it all, having given it a proper goal, you know, like having, you know, put people on the ropes, and we know that, okay, yeah, these people are absolutely better than us. That's why we went through, you understand? But the point is, we are playing games against, teams, and we're winning, but, like, we are getting dominated, you know, we are in situations where, like, you know, you're playing the whole 45 minutes at home and you don't have a single shot on target, you know, those kind of things. So it's looking bleak when, you know, keep seeing these things happening. So, yeah. I think, you know, like, for us to thrive, I think, you know, that trident has to be there. So it just has to remain this 4-4-2 or 4-3-3 or whatever it is that it is, with you just, you know, in between Rodrigo and Vinicius.
Yeah, I mean, there was certain points in the season where we didn't actually have to worry about the defense. Even if we didn't have a shot on goal, we knew that we wouldn't concede. Like, now that's not the case. I feel like every single counterattack or every single foray that the opponent has in our half is probably going to lead to a shot. So... yeah, we need to work on that. Partially, it's because Rudiger, you know, he's still coming back from an injury. Still getting there. Some of our midfield as well, like Bellingham, you know, he wasn't a totally 100%, I felt. He was a bit sluggish and slow, and he got taken off. Camavinga, he's not been playing. I want to discuss Camavinga in detail, man. So, it's been a while since he's had, like, an extended stint in the midfield, right? Even when he's brought on, it's always like a hybrid role, just roam around, just mop up. So when he's actually asked to do some of the creative work, like you saw yesterday, he was so nervous. He was just playing it back to the defense. He could not play a single forward pass through. Do you actually feel like we can maybe give Valverde a bit of rest and play Camavinga a lot more heading into these three games?
I think I do agree with you, you know, when you mentioned the fact that, you know, like, Camavinga needs to, you know, find his form also as well again. And also, I agree with you when you mentioned the fact that, you know, like, Fede admits the rest. That's true. But again, you know, the thing about that is, like, this is what, you know, the team is like, you know, you need to be able to be called upon and, you know, you need to be able to give that immediate impact. And I think right now, Camavinga isn't offering that, at least through the middle of the park. And I think, yes, even we discussed this, that, you know, Camavinga has a lot to improve, you know, if he wants to have a future, you know, in this Real Madrid midfield. Because right now, like, you know, you're looking at three of the best midfielders in the world, in Tchouaméni, Bellingham, and Fede Valverde there, you know, like, so, yeah, obviously, like, Camavinga as well is no slouch either as well, but, I mean, he has to, you know, step up a lot. But, again, we talk about that when he comes into the, when he plays that hybrid role, you know, as a fullback midfielder, whatever it is that he does, like, he does it perfectly. He does it way better than, you know, any fullback, other any left back that we have currently in the team. So that now begs the question, like, you know, like where does, you know, where do the coaching staff see him, you know, him in the long run? Because what we've seen is that, like, most of his, you know, stints is always, like, as you said, in those hybrid role, not in the central positions. You understand? So that also begs that question. But yeah, give Fede a rest, definitely. But then the question now becomes, like, you're giving Fede a rest and you're playing Kamavinga, Tchouaméni together. So, like, how does that dynamic work as also, you know, that, because the thing is, I feel like a lot of discontinuity that keeps happening with our team is the reason why, you know, we're having this start stop season. You know, the point is, Vini was injured, he came back, Jude went injured, he came back, you know, Tchouaméni was injured for a while. So it's like you're always mixing and matching, and there is no continuity there.
Yeah.
You understand? So, like, when you're asking Kamavinga to be playing four or five roles every, you know, every other game, it's a different role. Every other game, it's a different role, you know. He can be forgiven for, you know, not stepping up to the plate. So I think, like, we have to find the balance for that continuity to happen, honestly. But yeah, definitely, you know, Kamavinga has to also step up. And I do believe that, you know, he's shown in the past that, you know, come the crunch moment, he can be the crunch guy. I do hope that, you know, he's gonna, you know, step up again when it's the most important times.
100%, man. Totally agree. Yeah, but before we, actually head into the preview, we have Ashik in the chat already. He says, "Do we have the CV to face CV on Sunday based on what we saw?"
What play, what play. Nice one, bro. Nice one, actually.
And Jabara Omlagata is here. He says, "The setup and the performance yesterday was shambolic. Carlo is clearly not thinking straight with the tax evasion case he's going through. LOL." You know, for like, yeah, Carlo was actually asked about it in the post-match interview. So he said, "What case? Like, the only thing on my mind is basically getting the team to win and the tactics behind the team." He's not even thinking about it.
Yeah, man, typical Carlo, man. He's a perfect, you know, he has a perfect answer for every question, man.
Definitely. I don't know if it's on the pitch though. Sometimes, his answers on the pitch suffer. But yeah, whenever asked, he's always there. Rajat says Ancelotti got the CV to face Celta Vigo. Definitely.
That's very true. You cannot argue against that. I mean, if there is anyone coach who has a CV to face any team in the world, I think you can't look any further than Carlo Ancelotti.
Yeah, this is mainly interesting to me because, nowadays, like we were discussing earlier, Celta are not a team that, we looked forward to get that exciting game, because in the past they had the likes of Orellana, Iago Aspas in his prime. That was an excellent team. Like Nolito was also there. Was always an awesome time to actually watch the game. We've always done good against them, but it was always like a 4-2 or 4-3, a 3-2.
Yep.
It was always an exciting game. But these days, they just sunk to levels lower than we thought that was possible. Even after losing, actually like getting a lot of money for Gabriel Vega, they still could not put that money to a lot of use. They got last Larsen, Strand Larsen. He's pretty good, the striker. But beyond that, they've not really made any moves in the transfer market. And but you know what? They're 17th in the league. The only exciting thing I guess we can look forward to is like we're going to be facing Rafa Benitez again.
Yeah, man. I mean, Rafa unfortunately didn't, you know, leave us with very good memories at the club. Unfortunately, you know, his
Are
time was
you kidding me? Like I feel like he was like that period for Real Madrid like was so much needed because that was pretty much a wake-up call. And drastic measures had to be taken, and then Zidane was brought in. If some other coach was chosen, we probably wouldn't have seen Zidane. So I'm super grateful for that. He was the one who discovered Casemiro as well, and gave him consistent playing time. Bale got a really good stint in the middle of the park. So I'm like totally grateful for Benitez's era, even though it was really
Yeah,
short.
man, but it was really short, and it was also, you know, a lot of, you know, I think we also there was a game we won 10-2 there, and then we lost to Barcelona 4-0, and you know, things like that. So it was, you know, hot and cold. It was a hot and cold with Rafa Benitez. But I do think overall, like, I think his stint wasn't, you know, wouldn't be something that would be remembered at all. But yeah, as you mentioned, the only thing it would be remembered for was, you know, he was the one who kickstarted, you know, the triplet. So yeah, for that we'll be grateful.
Yeah, definitely. Raja says Leipzig gave us a very tough game, but it doesn't take away from the lethargic setup. Yeah, man, like we really have to go look at our players because you can blame the system a lot, but then like on that night the players themselves didn't do themselves any favors as well. Like we gave away the ball so many times unnecessarily. We were lethargic, we didn't press high enough. Like Ancelotti basically set it up. It was a very shit game from all aspects, from the tactics to the players.
That's true, but I kind of feel like, you can see all of that. But I mean, we had situations where people were playing passes into situation into positions that normally people, other players would be, and that did not just happen, So like, I feel like with the way he set up the team, like he literally shorthanded, the players in the, in my opinion, he, was asking them to do things that were not job, were just not possible, were not just there. And yeah, of course, as we also discussed yesterday, you can have all your tactics and all the training and all the, implementation and all that. But I mean, when the match day comes and, the opposition team is more aggressive than you expected it to be, or like, something doesn't fall in place, then it's up to the coach again to, to tweak something and, find a solution to that. But we went for 45 minutes and there was no change, and we came out in the second half again. And, okay, there was a bit of an improvement, but then it was also short-lived. And for the last, 15 minutes, we literally hung on throughout the game. So yeah, and as everyone was pointing out just in the comment, like, if not because of a pen, that was basically, I don't know what he was doing anyways, but like, the game would have been over in the first 10, 15 minutes. So yeah.
Definitely, man. Any other striker, maybe even a random La Liga striker, they would have actually put it to bed. It was just down to Openda being shit.
That's the thing, that's the issue, right? So you see, like, the options now. We talked about that yesterday with, with Erling Haaland and, Harry Kane from Bayern Munich. But you go down a bit and you think, like, like players like Thuram, players like Lautaro, the Bukayo Sakas, the Martinellis, the Gabriel Jesus, even Kai Havertz and so on. These are people that will be looking at this and be like, okay, yeah, like this is a defense that we can take on. This is a defense that, that like they will fancy their chances, That's the thing. So honestly, like, and definitely we know these guys aren't going to be as, as shit as, Openda was yesterday. So that's just the thing. We really need to sort our shit out, though. We need to sort our shit out, honestly. Because as you said, before, like, we were worrying out about the attack and the defense was just doing their thing. But now it's both end of the team, and like chances are not being created, and literally every counter is a chance for the opposition. So something needs to happen.
Definitely. I have some ideas on, maybe a plan to go ahead like in these next couple of games. But yeah, we'll look at that when we look at the lineups. But yeah, let's continue talking about Celta. So 17th in the league, they've scored some decent amount of goals, enough to stay up and be, at least in the top part of the second half of the table. But 17th in the league, and they've been just conceding too many goals. Even though it's a Rafa Benitez team, like you would expect. He can actually shut up shop, but I looked at some of their highlights and their defense is just shambolic. So
Yeah, I mean
hopefully we can take advantage of that.
that's the irony in that, right? You always expect the Rafa Benitez team to be, built firstly on that defensive solidity. And right now, with Celta, it's just, something that's not happening. You're like, yeah, okay, they have a good offense because of, Trent Larsson and, what's he called? Iago Aspas, of course, although he's no longer at his peak, but the quality remains eternal, So, but then the defense, as you mentioned, it's something quite interesting. And it's just, I feel like, it's those teams that, you get a situation of comfortability, you just, because if I'm not mistaken, like they have like a 5-point cushion to the, to the team in 18. So basically you have to like go through, you have to lose two straight matches to, eventually get even on level terms, with this guy. So yeah, I feel like that kind of cushion that they've created with themselves and the 18th, kind of gives them that, lax approach to just, yeah, we can just, cruise through this. And we just, I think with players like Larsson and Iago Aspas, we will have enough firepower to just shoot ourselves, away out of the relegation fight, So maybe that's the thing as well. Well, yeah, man. I mean, it's a Rafa Benitez team, if there's anything, it's always, out to prove a point against us. So I do feel like, we still have to, take them seriously, especially the attack, considering, what we saw yesterday in the game at the Marseille as well, with our defense being shambolic. But yeah, we also know that, they will give up a lot of chances as well, which means that, as long as our players, have the fire in Buton and Carlo Ancelotti doesn't have under brain fart. So I believe that, we should be able to also, exploit their weaknesses.
Absolutely, man. So yeah, we definitely have to worry about their offense then. I'm sure like we'll probably be able to score a couple or at least a goal past them. Now it remains the fact that we have to actually get back into getting those clean sheets out. Especially like with Rudiger and Nacho being back regularly. Hopefully we can make that happen. So just looking at the team, the threats obviously is Trent Larsen, 9 goals, top scorer of the team. Iago Aspas with 5 goals and 5 assists. 36 years of age, still going on strong. They're
It's
joined.
just a number, bro.
Yeah. And this other creative players in the team are actually Luca Toure, 5 assists again from the midfield. Seamlessly replaced Gabriel Vega, I would say. And
Yeah.
surprise, surprise, like their right winger, can you guess? Who is it? For
Callejon?
no man, it's Mingueza, the former right back of Barcelona.
Oh. Oscar Mingueza. Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
He's playing now as an offensive player.
Yep.
Yeah, I
He's
think I
driving into
remember
the back
Mingueza.
byline.
He was the guy with the ponytail and the beard as well, right? Oh, I see.
Yeah, always gonna be fun facing against former Barcelona players.
Former Barca players, right? Yeah, that's true. I totally agree with that, man. That's true. But yeah, I mean, it's quite interesting, the conversion of a fullback to an attacker. That's something that you'd expect from a From Rafa Benitez's team, but then it's still funny that they still give up the chances. They know that you might expect that, due to the conversion of a defender to an attacker. I mean, you want some solidity on the wing, at least, some defensive balance there. But yeah, it's something that's just not, translated.
Absolutely. And yeah, before we head into other things, we have some comments. So Rajat asks, do we start Rodrygo or Brahim Diaz? Don't know, man. Like it can go either way. I feel like against like a weak defense, both Vinny and Rodrygo should start. They can potentially kill the game in the first half if they combine well with Bellingham. But that is if Bellingham is actually playing. So Farooq, like, do you have any updates on like the suspensions to Bellingham and Rudiger? Are we actually getting it appealed and removed?
I have no idea. I just know that, Jude was saying that the referees are out after him and they want to make an example of, with him. That's why he got the 2-game ban. But yeah, like, Real Madrid is gonna appeal that, and most likely I hope that, it gets, expunged or at least reduced to, even if it's just 1 game. But then I don't know what, the thing is about with these referees is that, like, nothing is ever, plain. Like, there is no one rule for all. It's like, everyone is treated differently, and it's just like, depending on, how big your personality or how small your personality is, like, making waves and stuff like that. So I feel like, with all the the storm, the shitstorm that's been around the refs in Spain, I think that you want to make, a very, very, strong stance about Jude, and want to make an example of him. So yeah, but for Riga, I actually have zero information on that. But yeah, let's see, man. Let's see. Honestly, I do believe that, something should be done before the game on Sunday.
I think we'll probably see some news around that either tomorrow or before on Saturday. Nothing came out yet. The only thing that I saw was, of course, the referee association is working against us. So Sevilla, they actually made a case against us, saying that we were trying to manipulate the referees by putting out all of those videos on RMTV. So yeah, the RFAF is actually looking at it, I believe. We'll hear more about it in the coming days. The other, at least a bit of positive news, is that you remember back when we faced Getafe, Bellingham actually had some choice words. He actually called it out for what it is. He was talking to Mason Greenwood. So the referees actually looked into it. They hired a lip reader, but it was ultimately shrugged off. No case against
Yeah.
Bellingham, at least for that.
Yeah,
Oh wait,
that's it. Yeah, sorry.
hold on, man. Farooq, go ahead, man. I'm just switching out my earphones. I think they died.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, that's a relief, man. Imagine, upon of the 2-match game ban, if, he also got another, match or a couple of matches for, calling a spade, basically, that would have been bleak, but yeah, it's good that, that's been cleared upon, and, yeah, I mean, it would have been unfair to actually, penalize someone for that, in my opinion. You know, basically, as I said, it's just calling a spade, so, you know, so it would have been unfair to do that, but the referees are saying horseshit. We don't even know what to expect, when to expect it, how to expect it, so we just, you know, live, it's their world, and we just live in it, man, unfortunately.
Absolutely. But yeah, man, like, we actually don't have any information. I try to, like, try to find something, either, you know, even from sketchy sources like Marca, but there's actually no news about it. And Rajit was asking, like, did Rudiger actually see red as well? Yeah, he did. So we have no news regarding that as well. I'm sure it's being appealed. Like, the only thing I'm worried about it not getting looked at fast enough is because... Spain as a whole country itself, like, it's so bureaucratic, like, any decision, like, takes a long time, and I'm not sure if we'll see the decision appealed or maybe reduced. So initially it was a 2-game ban for Bellingham and maybe a 1-game for Rudiger, but we might just see it drop down to 1 game. That's what my initial take is. And as for the initial question, like, will Rodrigo or Brahim start? I think both of them have to start if Bellingham is going to be missing. In defense, of course, Tchouaméni can fill in. He's played there. I'm pretty confident facing off against Celta Vigo that he can actually pull off the job.
Yeah, I mean, that's also true, actually. I do, you know, concur and agree with that. It's I think Celta, considering, you know, how also their defense is, you know, it's something that, you know, you look to exploit. But then you also feel like, you know, yeah, you want to, you know, bring players back to form. And, you know, we also see how, as we mentioned earlier, you know, how bad the defense is with, you know, with Celta. So, like, you know, maybe it might be the prime game as well, you know, for Rodrigo to return to squadron ways and, you know, also, you know, be able to start to, you know, re-establish that link up that he had with Vinicius Junior and you know, and Bellingham as well. So I think both ways works just fine. But the issue I have is, you know, if Carlo is like removing one player and then putting a player that totally, you know, plays in a different position, that's, you know, where the headache comes into play.
Absolutely. But yeah, man, let's hear from Doris about Manscaped. And when we're back, we're going to be talking about the best lineup that we can actually put out. Maybe, like, we'll even talk about the best system that we can go forward with for the rest of the season. Because we've seen like enough sample size and seen what works and what doesn't. So yeah, anyways, here's to Doris.
Hola, Madridistas. I'm back once again to remind you guys that we partnered up with Manscaped. And if you want to help and support this project and this little family of ours, be sure to check out Manscaped and use code LBR20 at checkout for 20% off and free shipping. So 2024 is in full swing, we're already a month in, and if you had any New Year's resolutions to look better, you know, feel better, have a company called Manscaped. They're trusted by more than 10 million men worldwide, and if you want to take a positive step, you know, in a good direction this year, start with yourself. And Manscaped asked us to introduce you guys to the new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. It's a hair trimmer, you know, for your sensitive bits. It features skin safe technology, you know, to keep your sensitive bits safe. It has an LED bright, it's waterproof, you can use it in the shower. You get two extra blade heads to go either full smooth or a normal blade head. If you want to go all in, you can get the whole package. You get a nose trimmer, you get crop preserver, it's a ball deodorant, you get some aftershave, and in the box you also get some boxers and a bag, you know, to keep all of those things in. So yeah, if you're interested, go to manscaped.com, use code LBR20 to get 20% off at checkout and free shipping. That's LBR20 to get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. And thank you guys, and back to the video.
We're back again. So yeah, guys, big up to Doris, and consider actually buying something on Manscaped, you know. If you actually are looking for buying a new trimmer or maybe even a new t-shirt, I've heard they have some really comfy stuff on there. But yeah, let's get back into the lineups, Farouk. Let's quickly go through the defense, I guess. We probably have no Rudiger. Let's assume that, thinking that it's going to be Tchouaméni, Nacho, Carvajal, and Mendy. Or are you surprisingly going to, predict Fran Garcia run out?
No, I don't think Fran comes into play there. But the thing is, also I think we don't know what's gonna happen with Tony Rudiger, so that's also something there. But I do think, if Tony Rudiger is out, yeah, there is nothing we can, do about that. But I don't I just don't I see because of that, like with the absence or lack thereof of Tony Rudiger, I think we don't see Fran Garcia play, honestly. I think maybe not in this game.
Absolutely. And it was a very intense game. Do you actually see a Lucas Vasquez start as well? If you want to give Carvajal a bit of rest.
Oh, I think there is nothing to rest. Like, I mean, do we have a midweek fixture? I don't think so.
No, we don't. The next game is against Osasuna 6, 7 days away.
Exactly, 6, 7 days away. So, like, there is literally no rest to get, like, because you're not playing anything. So, like, we have enough time to rest from that. So, yeah, I think it's just gonna be, the usual suspect. It's a home game. You wanna get the fans back on our side, considering how shitty we played in the middle of the week. So I think we just, put the best that we can field. Obviously, you can always have a change here and there in the middle of the park. Maybe a Luka Modric for this or for, I don't know, even maybe a Brahim Diaz for someone. But yeah, I just feel like, that with the defense already, we have a lot of missing personnel. So I think you just want to keep it as posh as possible.
Absolutely. And that was an important point. We're playing back again, back in home again, and it's gonna be where, like, Carlo's gonna feel the pressure to, because the crowd was booing, and Sid, he was out in a cafe nearby. He was saying he could hear the every single referee's whistle because the crowd was so silent, and they were actually booing in between as well. So yeah, hopefully we get their support back, and the boys put out a really good game. But yeah, man, for the midfield, so are you saying maybe Luka Modric walks in?
Okay. I think so. I think Modric comes in for Toni Kroos in this game. I think Tchouaméni. But if Tchouaméni starts at the bottom of the, rather at the, in the defense.
It's going to be Camavinga, the center of the park. And he can do his job there.
Yeah.
Like, remember that stint where Tchouaméni was injured and then Camavinga got injured. But that 2 weeks was, like, really good for Camavinga. In my opinion, like, he was the best player, one of the best players on the pitch in that time period.
Yeah, I think you make a valid point. And I actually, until you mentioned it, actually, it has skipped my mind. That's actually true. Like, Camavinga was actually, really a good sub before he eventually got injured and all what is on. I do agree with that. I think so. I'm actually thinking in my mind, if you remember, like, we had this box formation with Fede Valverde and Toni Kroos basically playing as a double pivot or something that looked like that. So I was actually, that was what came to my mind again. So I was thinking maybe before this might lead, to the introduction of Luka Modric or even Brahim Diaz, alongside Jude Bellingham, in the middle of the park. But since he's playing a box with basically something that looks like 2 8s or 2 10s, depending on, if we're defending or if we're attacking. So yeah, I do. I think, yeah, Camavinga is a good shout, and I agree with that. I think Camavinga is a good shout. So I think, yeah, we can. If Rudiger's situation is not fixed, I think we're gonna see, like, Camavinga, to be at the bottom of the midfield. And I think Fede Valverde, of course, like, I mean, until he dies, he's always gonna play. Even if he dies, but we're gonna bury him in the center of the pack, and he's gonna be our 11th player. So, yeah, Fede is gonna be there, and I think as well, Toni Kroos, and if Jude is out, I think we're gonna see Brahim Diaz.
Absolutely. That's gonna be pretty much the only addition that sways the front three, man. If you count Bellingham in as well. So Ashik says, before you pick the lineup, so this is Rafa Benitez's outfit. They'll play a deep block, no doubt, against us, especially. So I say shore up the midfield and go with the more attacking attitude. With a deep block, you'll need an aerial threat in the box as well. Does this count? Does this mean a Joselu start?
Oh no, man! I just don't see that happening, man. I don't know. I just feel like nah. I feel like Joselu is gonna give us a plan B off of the bench.
Yeah, as always.
I think he's gonna give us a plan B off of the bench. Because I feel like, if Jude is out, we're gonna just, throw in Brahim there, and, like, we're gonna play it safe with Vinicius and Rodrigo, you know, the people that you know. So I think we're not gonna push that. I think we're not gonna push that.
Yeah, especially at home, like I just don't see it happen either. When we wanna play some beautiful attacking football that the crowd wants to like we're gonna need Brahim, Rodrigo and Vinny all combining.
I couldn't agree more. That's totally true, bro. I couldn't agree more to that.
Definitely. But Ashik has his personal agenda, you know, so he says start Joselu and get him his hat-trick and my jersey.
I mean, we're out of the Copa, so like, you know, that was Joselu was supposed to get his hat-trick, but it didn't happen. And I mean, bro, I mean, pray he gets the hat-trick against Man City, man. I mean, there's no better place to announce, you know, your presence to the world than against, you know, the very defending champions of Europe. Not against minors like Celta de Vigo, man. Like, come on, who are Celta de Vigo? Why should Osil even score against them, you know? He needs to wait for the, you know, the cream of the crops. Exactly, it's a waste of his talent. He needs to wait for the big boys in town.
All right. But yeah, man, I guess that's done with the lineups. It's pretty much going to depend on the decisions on the red cards. Hopefully, I know it's such a crucial point. We will absolutely need Bellingham and Rudiger, both of them. But yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out to that particular time being, you know, that when we were playing beautiful attacking football, it was when Valverde and Cruz, they were so deep playing in a double pivot. Tchouaméni just roaming around, mopping things up, pressing the team. He was leading the press from the midfield pretty much most of the time. Carvajal, he was playing almost as a right winger. Vinny and Rodrigo were combining a bit on the left along with Bellingham. And in my opinion, when Camavinga was there as a left back in some certain situations, that left side was like impossible to defend. And I just wish, you know, going forward, we try out a bit more of that. Go back to the old things that was already working.
I totally agree with you, man. Honestly, I totally agree. And while I can understand, you know, the sentiments regarding, you know, Fala Mendy and what is, I just feel like, you know, the team functions better with you know, with Camavinga as a left back. Obviously, you lose that defensive solidity. Obviously, you know, when you go to the very biggest games, maybe it's not something that you want to play with. You know, you prefer to have that security that Mendy gives you. But I think, you know, in the games against the Celtics, you know, in the game against, you know, the Osasunas, you know, I don't know, even, you know, those, I feel like those are games that, you know, we want to try to, you know, especially when we're playing at home, you know, the Almerias, the Cadiz, you know, those guys, we want to, you know, try to play with some certain level of fluency. So I feel like, you know, in my opinion, playing Camavinga as a left back is just the way to go in these games, honestly. It is just the way to go.
Absolutely. And yeah, before we go, I guess we can take one more comment from Ashik. He says, Celta is a La Liga team, which means they are already superior to anything from England.
Oh.
Yeah, man, I mean, it is what it is. At least I'm pretty sure if Celta plays enough games against Arsenal, they can probably get a good result. All right, but before we go, I just want to like take this moment to, especially for our audio platform listeners as well. So if you aren't actually following us on social media, we have a new series coming up, The Big Three Show, which is basically the big three teams in Spain, Barcelona, Atletico Madrid, and Real Madrid. There's going to be two people representing us from the Real Madrid side. It's going to be Mo, our usual, and there's a new guy as well, Sam. He's really good. He has some vital and, you know, different perspectives on Real Madrid. So it's going to be a spicy fight. It's not going to be a friendly occasion like, you know, me and Farooq just talking shit. It's going to be a spicy affair. And you guys should actually check it out if you want to listen to a high energy podcast. It's going to be featuring, the first episode is going to be featuring a little, maybe in a couple of hours or in an hour, not too sure, but it's going to be on the Barca Boy channel for today. We're going to be alternating that from his channel and on our YouTube. But for our audio platform, it's always going to be on Spotify for at the moment. So yeah, I would ask all of you guys to, you know, wait for it and check out. Maybe go and listen to it live as well. Really engage in the chat with them. And it's going to be really good stuff. I can't actually wait. That, which is why I feel like we had to cut short this podcast as well. Give you guys enough time to actually recover from listening to us and go listen to an absolute fight going on in that other channel. So yeah, man, I guess we just have one more thing to do, the predictions.
Yeah, bro, I think I'm just gonna go for, emphatic Real Madrid win. I'm just gonna go with a, 4-1 victory.
4-1. Oh
Yeah.
wow. I'm gonna say we're gonna keep a clean sheet. It's gonna be 2-0, convincing victory. Rodrigo, I don't know if he's gonna get on the score sheet today, but yeah, one Hossein goal for Arshik's sake, teasing him, and one Brahim goal as well. I feel like we're gonna leave it a bit late, and we're gonna see Brahim for some reason, because I just don't believe that, the Spanish FA, like, they care enough to actually repeal the red card.
I just agree with you, man, especially with the whole RMTV thing as well, so I kind of feel like, yeah, already that it's like, they've had, they have it out for us, honestly. So, and also, I mean, not just us, like, honestly, like, I feel like as fans of La Liga, we just need to understand that, like, it doesn't matter who you are, like, these refs are just horseshit. You understand?
Yep.
These refs are just horseshit, honestly, like, forget about the rivalry and what is and what is not. Like, these refs are just horseshit, and they have a mechanism behind them that just literally, protects the shit out of them, so. It's unfortunate, but it is what it is, man.
It can be summed up in one line for it's not football, it's La Liga.
Perfect one, man. Perfect one. That's a perfect outro, Jacob. That's a perfect outro.
Exactly. So yeah, Ashik as well, he predicts a 7-0 win. Hopefully we see that. He says
Oh.
it's going to be Joselu hat-trick, Brahim, Vini and Rodrigo and Fede as well on the score sheet. It's going to be quite a day, man.
That's quite interesting. Joselu hat trick.
Joselu?
Everything is fair game, man. We enter the bet in good faith,
Absolutely.
when we lose the bet as well, then we will also accept that in good faith. And I will be happy, to gift Ashik a jersey, honestly.
Especially on a 7-0 victory, for sure.
Bro, mamma mia.
Mamma mia, indeed. Okay, I guess that's all the time we have for today. Before we go, all of our audio platform listeners, check out our YouTube, man. Like, you can see our faces and engage with us in the chat. So do that. Check out our Instagram as well, because we're going to be putting out fan cams. Because it's a home game, Sid is going to be covering it from outside the Bernabeu. Listen to our fans and hear the voice, because a lot of them are frustrated, and stay tuned for all of that. Last but not the least, big up to our partners over at Real Madrid Committee for their awesome page and support. So check them out as well. The links are down in the description below. I think I'll add the live stream for the Big Three show as well today, a bit later on. So if you want to check them out, just click on the link. So yeah, guys, until next time, Hala Madrid.
Hola, Madrid!